I have been literally obsessed with the World Cup content on my social media feed. Like, I cannot actually describe how much of it I've consumed because the vibes are good, which feels unusual for my feeds.
Yeah, well, there's been a real sense this summer, I think, of sports content making everything seem like the world's a happy place all of a sudden.
Yeah, like I keep seeing these posts where people are like, maybe this is all we need for world peace.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
it's like so at odds with the geopolitical situation. And I think a lot of the content that comes from politicians themselves that is like very rage baity. And then suddenly it's like, oh, everyone's like best friends. And you've got like Japanese fans in sombreros.
Yeah, so there's been lots of heartwarming content. So, for example, there's been the story about Boston being overrun with Scotland fans.
I work in Boston and I just took the train to get to work, and a group of Scottish men got on, and what are they doing? They're drinking Dunkin' Donuts. If that's not embracing in the New England culture, then I don't know what is. I think this World Cup is really bringing us all together.
I love these people. I'm saying right now, a year from today, I'm going to Scotland and I'm going to do videos over there, and I'm going to have a hell of a time. I'm going to go for 10 fucking days over there.
Another genre of just like fans, kind of similar to the Scots in Boston stuff, is really funny TikToks of Americans who are like, we told the Europeans they couldn't walk and they are still walking. And it's just like fans walking along like highways. Because we're obviously just so used to being able to walk to places, and also lots of the transportation is really expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you can just see people in their shirts like walking along the edge of a motorway and you're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And there's also been, of course, the town of Lawrence in Kansas. That's where the Algerian team is based. And so a bunch of random people from Kansas who have probably never been to Algeria are all of a sudden Algeria fans.
I want to say thank you to Team Algeria for choosing our hometown, Lawrence, Kansas, to come here.
What do you know about Algeria, and what's the thing make you to come to support Algeria?
We just know Algeria is on the Mediterranean Sea, and we know that you gained independence from France kind of around the time I was born. So we don't know too much. But we want to welcome you here.
They've had like Algerian music in some of the bars, and like a real emphasis on like welcoming them. And like really, like, I've seen influencers who are quite emotional watching this content because they've been really concerned about issues like Islamophobia in the US or anti-immigrant sentiment. And they're like, oh, this is so beautiful because everyone is so welcoming and loving it. Have you seen Merlin the Duck?
I've seen Merlin the Duck.
So Merlin the Duck is this duck wearing a Mexico shirt who's actually even met the president.
Donning his perfectly fit jersey, this duck from Mexico City became an unofficial World Cup star. And long before social media discovered him, he was already a familiar face here in Mexico City's historic center.
And there was also a Messi duck in Argentina, but hasn't quite taken off in the same way.
There's always an animal in the World Cup, isn't there? There's always like, there's like the octopus.
I know, this is actually like, I can't really describe, like my happy place is like
football
viral
plus animal.
Football animal content.
Yeah.
I've loved also all the content. Like there was one which was someone being like, my mum has basically been adopted by like the Dutch fans and they're like teaching her. Or there was a clip of the Norwegian celebration where they row the boat and a fan was like teaching the Senegalese fans how to do the like rowing. I actually feel like I have almost too many examples because it's just taken over social media. Another really like lovely thing has been Vozina, the 40-year-old goalkeeper for Cape Verde. Cape Verde have obviously actually having like an amazing time, as in they've drawn two of their games and this is like monumental for them. And he has over 15 million followers after he kept a clean sheet against Spain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like amazing. Like, and it's worth us saying, like, there's so many bits of football social media and World Cup social media, I'm sure, which unfortunately will happen over the next couple of weeks, like racist abuse when people miss penalties, like really toxic hate campaigns. We're not saying that there's not toxic stuff on football Twitter / generally, but there's just been such a range of very positive vibes content, which I think reminds you that the algorithms run on pos vibes, which we'll
as well as rage,
as well as rage, they run on emotion.
Yeah.
And also, I think it is just worth saying one of the things that I think has made a difference to the spread of this content is that X has introduced this auto translate tool, and loads of the tweets that are being shared in Portuguese, so being shared from Brazil and being shared in Spanish from like Argentina and other places, are now being automatically translated. So you've almost got like a whole new trove of content, which does come with problems because there's some
mistranslations,
some human dialect that doesn't translate or is like a bit controversial to people who speak a different language. But it's, I messaged a few of the accounts who have just blown up because of this auto translate thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen all the Ancelotti Endrick memes?
No.
Oh my gosh, they're so good. Basically, it's like this ongoing joke about how Ancelotti just like hates Endrick.
My favorite part about this World Cup isn't necessarily to do with the matches in themselves, but when I tell you the memes that we're getting with Endrick and Ancelotti and how that has taken over social media, bro, those tweets are some of the best content I have ever seen in my life. So I'll be real, I would love for Endrick to start for Brazil, but with the content that we got with Endrick and Ancelotti, I think the treatment might need to continue.
And it's just like, everything will be like, you know, like when Endrick says that he likes like seeded burger buns, and it will be like a pigeon like pecking off all of the like seeds on the burger bun. And it's like, this is the pigeon is Ancelotti. It's like, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I think football, especially World Cup, is made for good, positive social media content. And, you know, this isn't, by the way, just the World Cup, right? This is also coming off the back of major sporting droughts ending on both sides of the Atlantic. So the New York Knicks won the NBA championship for the first time in 53 years. That's led to incredible content where you're seeing so many beings like in New York, like hanging off of shop window fronts. There was the viral interview with someone who said, my mayor's Muslim, my bagel's Jewish, my Christian's Dior.
My mayor Muslim, my bagel's Jewish, my Christian Dior.
And I remember like seeing that, going to thinking that's going to go viral. And then like within 24 hours, there were like whole professional song versions of my mayor's Muslim, my bagel's Jewish.
My mayor Muslim. Time for Zoran, my bagel Jewish, recipe from the Torah, my Tim's heavy, left a dent in the floor, my drip divine, my Christian Dior.
In a way, it's like the fans are celebrating this, but they're also celebrating a kind of New York's diversity, and they're celebrating that basketball kind of like brings people from different ages, different ethnicities, different sexual orientations all together. And that kind of is the spirit of New York. But that's also running counter to the fact that the Knicks are owned by James Dolan, who is, of course, an ardent Trump supporter. He's donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to a Trump super PAC. And a lot of them don't like Jimmy Dolan because he, quite famously, he's the CEO of Madison Square Garden, which has introduced facial recognition technology, which he's using to kind of ban his personal enemies, lawyers who have are working in suits against Madison Square Garden, from entering the venue, to also profile activists who have criticized Madison Square Garden. So a lot of New Yorkers are really angry at this man. And so there's a lot of people on social media saying, are we allowed to celebrate like the Knicks winning?
It's made me think about, algorithms do run on emotions. Rage is a powerful emotion. But so it's like, you know, you think of like marathon content, for example, mm-hmm. like people love stuff that like makes them cry or makes them like feel really moved or inspired. And you wonder whether if you're the person who's sitting in a room trying to be like, how can we fix social media's algorithm problem? It's like, is it possible to actually just favor the pos vibes emotions?
Yeah, and
like,
exactly.
Maybe people will, because from a tech company point of view, the numbers will be really high on all this content. Like the pos vibes stuff makes their money.
The problem
is you can't really isolate the emotions, right?
Like, yeah.
The issue, and that's what the engineers have said to me from the companies.
And it's the same thing with the Arsenal victory as well. I mean, even if you aren't an Arsenal supporter,
I'm a Spurs fan, by the way, so I'm really not impartial.
Yeah, I'm not an Arsenal supporter, but
seeing... I love how you never reveal who you support. Are you ashamed?
Okay, I support Manchester City.
But he's a legit.
But I've
fan,
been
everyone.
Supporting them for a very long time. My dad's from Manchester. I grew up supporting them. Okay.
Just, I mean, I'm a Spurs fan, which is objectively more embarrassing.
Yeah. Sorry, some of the content of the Arsenal parade has been incredible to see. So first of all, there's so many people. There's people like hanging off of roofs and spilling across. I think one of the biggest gatherings in the history of London. And then like a guy in a window somewhere was holding a baby and the crowd just starts cheering. And then the baby goes away and everyone starts chanting, "We want our baby back." Imagine like there's like a million people asking you to bring your baby back to a window. I mean, it must be so crazy. And then there was the people who lost their keys, and then people were chanting, "Whose keys are these?" And they found the guy whose keys they were. There was the guy who was painting like a scene of the parade, and then
turned the
painting around and everyone cheered.
I would say one of my favourite clips actually from the parade is someone who's up a tree basically saying how much Tottenham are rubbish and they hate Tottenham, and then the tree falls.
The tree falls.
I think no one was hurt, so it's fine. But there's even the stuff that's like slightly more toxic, quote unquote, from say like around Arsenal. So take for example Gabriel missing his penalty, and then these edits where people will show like someone else taking a penalty and then it cuts to him missing. obviously, like, racist abuse, personal attacks, all of that stuff, not okay. But this stuff feels like it's kind of sitting in the, like, kind of okay bit of trolling. You'd think that maybe football Twitter would have become more toxic in X, and actually it's the one bit that appears to have continued to thrive. I mean, there's still bad bits to it, but it's not been
distorted or changed
in the same way as other bits.
My theory is the reason that sports content is so perfect for the algorithm is because it allows for the kind of the rage baiting elements in a more playful way. So it's like it has the positive elements and it allows for the argumentative stuff that does well, the antagonism that does well, but it's all like within the acceptable world of kind of sports banter. True. But then it becomes difficult to, sorry to be the Debbie Downer of this, to separate these things from the politics. So of course, as we said, with the Knicks supporters, a lot of them feel conflicted that, you know, their team is owned by Jimmy Dolan, who a lot of New Yorkers hate, you know, and when the Knicks weren't winning, Democrats were literally saying, like, in Congress, you need to sell the Knicks. So now that they've won under his ownership, they're trying to claim this win, the Knicks win, for Mamdani, you know, the mayor of New York, and not for Jimmy Dolan, the owner of the Knicks. So it becomes politicized. It's like, it does seem like it kind of, when you look at the social media, it does kind of seem like a kind of tapestry of Mamdani's New York, right? It's like, it's like a vindication of his politics almost to see so many different, like, ethnicities and types of people celebrating the same thing together in the streets. I think that there's this kind of interesting dichotomy going on with sports right now, where some people are saying, is this bread and circus? Is this a distraction from an increasingly powerful, you know, some might say ruling class, trying to distract us from the terrible things they're doing and the inequality and etc.? And when you look at, like, for example, the UFC fight that Donald Trump organized on the front lawn of the White House, which was sponsored in part by World Liberty Financial, the Trump family crypto venture, it's like, yeah, I can see how people might say this is like bread and circus to distract us. And you could make the same argument for the World Cup. Is this distracting? But on the other hand, like, could it have the opposite effect? Could the World Cup prove to a country where half of the people don't have passports that actually people from other countries are human beings and they're actually kind of fun and all right? Everyone just gets along together and the world's a happy place.
It feels like, and I think this is why people are loving it, like genuinely authentic content. And it's about authentic America and authentic fans and authentic. And that's why people are loving it so much. Obviously, as per our T-Pain thing at the top, like, not all of it is entirely authentic. But like, a lot of the stuff we're seeing is just moments that are happening that are being captured and then going super viral. And people are experiencing the World Cup like through those social media clips as much as they are just watching the games.
I mean, I think a lot of people have pointed out that there is potentially a certain irony in the notion that the current administration was elected largely on a platform of deportation and of stopping people coming into the country. They are then basically forced to have thousands and thousands of foreigners, including from Muslim countries, come into their country. There's a sense in which a lot of Americans are being kind of forced to see the world.
Yeah, and I, you know, obviously there are examples of where, think of the Somalian referee who wasn't granted admission to the US, he wasn't able to come in and ref the World Cup over allegations of connections to a terrorist group, Al-Shabaab, which he strongly denied. And because in the build up to the World Cup, there was such a concern that it was not going to be a welcoming, happy thing, that it was actually going to be like very hostile. And because there was lots of controversy over the admission of particular fans or people from particular countries. And then actually, because it's been so positive, I think that's another reason. It's almost like relief a bit as well online. Mm-hmm. Like, because when you were scrolling on social media, you would be forgiven for thinking everyone just hates each other all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like shouting at each other.
Yeah, yeah. But like the World Cup is like, the University of Kansas, the learning the Algerian national anthem and playing it to welcome them, you know, a Muslim country in a Republican state. So I think sports may end up being a good thing is my really basic conclusion to all of this.
Okay, so Matt, I've had some messages about these ads on TikTok. So they're paid for adverts that are popping up, seemingly attached to anonymous, faceless accounts that don't have a profile picture or any other posts. And they are focused on politically divisive issues. So a couple have focused on the murder of Henry Novak. They're pushing anti-immigration narratives, rhetoric. It's really unclear where they are coming from. A lot of people in the comments are based in the UK, it seems. So if you are a top commenter and you've seen an advert like this, a paid for advert on TikTok that is from a kind of anonymous account that's politically divisive, can you please get in touch? Because we are going to investigate it some more.
We want to get to the bottom of this mystery because it is very strange. Why would someone pay for an ad about Henry Novak?
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to be leading to a scam or anything else. So we want to try and figure out where these are coming from. And it raises questions about advert transparency that we want to get into as well. And while we're asking things of top commenters, we also wanted to mention Crosswires, which is this festival, podcast festival in Sheffield. Matt, you're on your hollybobs.
Yeah, I'm away, but...
You're away, but we are going to be joined by another journalist who you know well.
Yeah, Rachel Connolly. She's a good friend of mine. She's way smarter and funnier than me, so you'll love it.
She is brilliant, and she is going to be chatting to me at Crosswires. Please do come along. You can sign up for tickets for free at crosswires.live/fringe, and it is on Friday the 3rd of July.
Yeah, so if you've seen these mysterious TikTok ads, or if you have any other stories you want us to look into, get in touch please on WhatsApp on +44 330 123 9480, or email us at topcomment@bbc.co.uk.